Have you ever wondered why you can adjust your driver but not your irons? The new SMS irons from Adele provide the ability to adjust your irons to match your swing, which presents the opportunity for significantly improved control of the club head. What does that really mean? More distance and better control off better strikes. Go visit www.adelegolf.com to learn more about what your current irons can't do.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is Adele Golf's CMO, Mr. Chris Koski, your second trip on the show. How are you, my friend?
Dan, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So this is a little bit of a different setting for us. Last time we were face-to-face down there at the THP Tech studio in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Now we're pure digital here. How is everything going for you?
It's good. It's busy. Summer in the golf season is always a pretty intense time, especially with a recent product launch news coming out. So yeah, we're keeping busy, but having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you said having a lot of fun. I follow your socials. I know you're a guy that doesn't sit at home and wait for the world to hit him in the face. You're out there getting it. So it's nice that the snow's down a little bit. You can't focus on the slopes and you're obviously dialing it up for the golfers out there who are looking for big needs. What does summer look like out there in Colorado? What are you doing to entertain yourself?
It's golf as much as I can. I've been on the road quite a bit for business, so I did get to play a couple really good business rounds. Number one, the Quest Cup down in Alabama was a great time, meeting new friends. Getting to play some great courses, took a trip out to the Ozarks, got to play Payne's Valley and Ozark National. Highly recommend. I always, after a abandoned trip, I always think like, this is just a dream. And then I kind of came back from the Ozarks and well, maybe this is a competitor to it. It's not quite abandoned, but it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, with potential for less wind too, which is appealing to me. So
yeah, we had some pretty wild thunderstorms while we were there, but other than that, it was great. And then when I'm back here, if I can get out of my mountain bike, that's always fun. I can mountain bike out the back door. We've got a pretty good mountain here. And then did some camping this past weekend, and well, this coming weekend, 4th of July, I'll be going up to Steamboat and doing some fly fishing and mountain biking. So yeah, kind of got it pretty well rounded right now.
I love it. It suits your background too, which is pretty cool. So you did a trip with THP, super fun to follow. Mm-hmm. You guys battled the elements a little bit, but it turned out actually surprisingly good from what I saw.
Yeah,
at least better than everyone was anticipating based on the weather that was playing around. But one of the things that was featured there, well, a number of things, obviously your putters, which have been out for a little bit, the wedges, a big story. But it sounds like you brought them a little bit of an early surprise, which was the experience of some new irons that are coming out.
Yeah. And I think, that's always pretty rare. We love to time events like that around product launches. But when they get to see it about a month early and 2 months before we ever launch the stuff is always pretty cool. And the guys have been great about keeping it a secret. that's always a risk that you have. But being able to take some prototypes out there and put it on the range and let people try a new iron for the first time is one of my favorite things, because I get to see the reaction of the player. And there's not more authentic moments than, THPers seeing new product for the first time. It's a pretty cool sight to see.
Yeah, THPers are definitely a wild breed, a breed that I'm very fond of, actually, the lunatic fringe, if you will. So I want to backtrack a little bit to SMS wedges, because they definitely started to tell the story in a really positive way. Was it last year or the year before? Was it last year? Yes, you guys kicked them off? Yeah.
So no, last year in May.
So I've had them in my bag for, I would say, almost a year now. And this is what's fascinating to me, Chris. And this is something that is so telling on a product, is every single person who hit a ball with it, regardless of where the weight positioning was truly inspired by the sound profile. And I think one of the things that some companies don't spend enough time considering is what the acoustic quality of the product is that they're putting in play.
Yeah.
If you convince a golfer they hit a good shot by sound alone, you're going to convince the golfer that you have an awesome product, right? So just starting there, I feel like that has been a big part of the SMS identity, is just the quality of the sound. Was that a primary focus when you guys were designing, or is that just a happy accident that came together in a really positive way?
You know, when we're talking about wedges, I think it's a little bit more of a happy accident. You know, obviously they're forged, and so a lot of the time you don't hear the click of a cast club. And so that's one aspect of it. But designing the weight features and the swing match weighting into the golf club and not having sound is always a challenge. Whenever you're adding additional parts, you run that risk. Honestly, it was, you know, we developed the club, the technology to make the golfer better first, and then feel on a wedge, or I shouldn't say feel, sound, was kind of a secondary piece there.
Sound is feel, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Jay.
You know, it's funny, when I used to work with Phil Mickelson a little bit, and he would always talk about feel and putting. And when I hit a 5-foot putt, I want it to look like a 5-foot putt, sound like a 5-foot putt, and feel like a 5-foot putt. And all those senses had to work together. And it's the same thing with the wedges. You know, every time someone hits our wedges, it's like, ooh, okay, that feels really good. Yeah. And it's that response just about every single time.
Yeah, and that was a big part of it for my experience. And I think the only problem I had with it was, you know, every single person trying to rip them out of my bag and put them in their own bag. So, you know, you almost need to lock the key.
Do you remember the text that you sent me? I think it was your first or second round out with the wedges.
Yeah.
You were playing with a buddy, and I think he may have had Vokies in the bag, if I'm not mistaken, but he asked to hit your wedge. And I don't remember if he holed it out or knocked it close, but there was some sort of miraculous shot on his first time ever hitting our wedge.
Yeah. So that is, I would isolate to the individual experience, but it's hard to remember which one. There's been a number of them. In fact, I had THP staff member JD Talks, Jeremy, in town from Michigan. I think at one point, and he holed out on my eighth hole with an Edel wedge, and I asked him when he was buying his own.
So that sounds like the story. Yes.
You know, that it's so funny how that occurs, and there's definitely a honeymoon phase with new products, but unanimously the experience has been extremely positive with SMS.
We have an interesting happening the other day. So we don't have a tour rep. We haven't gone out there. That's something that's in the future for Adele, is going back out on tour. You know, there's an expense to that, not only in free product, but in the travel and an employee and whatnot. But we had a top 75 player in the world reach out on Instagram about getting fit for a putter recently. So we sent David Adele down. He worked with him. He came back and he started asking about wedges. And the text that we got back was, "These are the best wedges I've ever played. I just called my manager and told him that I need to revisit my contract with another manufacturer."
Whoa. That's big, loved, man.
Yeah, he loved the window. You know, tour players always talk about the window. And, you know, that's kind of the trajectory of the ball and kind of where it fits downrange. He loved the spin. But it was another one of those instances when he moved the weights to the right spot. He was just like, "Why isn't everybody doing this? Like, this is insane." So it's we hear that story all the time.
It's an interesting point to make. Number one, it's hard to ignore the fact that when players have product in their hands on tour, a lot of it is money driven. If they have a contract, obviously there's a reason. And sure, there's plenty of opportunity out there so they can go and pick one that they might prefer. But money talks, and it always always does. Let's just be honest. So when you have that sort of pure experience there from a player who has full control over their golf swing, you're talking about windows. And Tiger has nine of them. If I hit a window, then I think we're talking about the same thing. But you know, I'm paying for the window that I break when I hit it. So you know, that's the big difference there. But when you have a player with that skill set come in and say the consistency, the quality, the experience is what I'm looking for, I think that's pretty telling. And it certainly aligns with the experience I've had sharing the Adele products in my bag with other players. You know, that's such a cool thing to do. I know James has done it the same thing with his putter experience. He's gone through the fitting, which is an unbelievable process for you guys. And we should definitely get into that. But you know, the depth there to have a tour player say that is super cool. It's got to be validating for you guys.
Oh, 100%. I mean, those guys feel the minute differences in everything. We actually have a fitter in the UK who was working with another tour player, and he let him try the wedges, and said player really liked them. Said he couldn't change mid-season because they were 3 yards longer than his current wedge. And he and his coach do this drill where the coach calls out a certain yardage, and within, I think it was in 5 or 10 shots, he's got to hit that yardage on the number. And he'll just do that randomly through the practice. And when he was doing that, he was hitting the number in first or second shot every single time. And so, I mean, these guys are so dialed in. And so when you see them have an experience with a product for the first time, is pretty amazing. And wedges specifically, people don't like to switch out of their wedges. It's one of those categories where you get used to something and you kind of set it and forget it. But when something new comes along and they're able to fine tune it, they're able to get that feel that they want. It's pretty special when you see changes there.
Well, tell me why you don't think other companies have entered this realm. I mean, we as golfers, we talk about lead tape, swing weighting. We do all this stuff. And when you swing weight, all that's going into the hosel, right? So the intent there is likely, you know, it's going to change almost in the way that you put the weight towards the hosel on the SMS wedge. But you also see the guys out there with lead tape, and they're putting it in the places either they want, or they're running it along the bottom of the, or the back of the head. Why do you think this is so revolutionary in 2022, or at least 2021 when it first started?
Well, one of the reasons is doubt, cynicism, in my opinion. And just the way that golf clubs are designed for the most part. And I'll kind of expand on that a little bit here. It's not moving the CG a whole lot. You know, on our wedges, we have an 8 gram and 2 2-gram weights. And it moves the CG roughly a millimeter. So if I'm an engineer at a large OEM and I'm making that change, I'm not seeing a big difference. And a lot of the time, those companies are led from building drivers and working back. And so they're thinking gear effect, which when CG is so close to the face, it's not a gear effect thing. It's something that's happening in the swing. And that's where we're really unique. You know, David Adele, our founder, has been a PGA member and instructor for 25 years. And he's huge into biomechanics, best friends with Mike Adams, number 3 instructor in the world, I believe, right now. And we talk about it internally as designing from the golfer back instead of collision forward. And I think that's what you see from a lot of other manufacturers. And so it's just a little different. And, you know, as we were building out the website for the launch of the iron, we started thinking about the history of club weighting, and we made a little timeline. I don't know if you saw it on the bottom of our irons page, but you were kind of alluding to the lead tape. Weighting of golf clubs has been around for a long, long time. I've got one of the coolest books in the world. I probably should have had it ready. It's a compilation of every McGregor catalog since 1919. And it shows pictures of people putting screws in the back of persimmon woods in different places in the heel and the toe. They were using plates on the bottom of persimmon woods to move weight around. And then going into lead tape, porting of wedges, different weight movement technologies have been out there for a long time. But no one's quite done it this way yet. And we get a lot of that. People are like, oh, well, isn't this just like the iron that has all the screws in the back of it? I'm like, no, that's usually for swing weight purposes.
yeah.
But, you know, as soon as we started testing it, and, you know, specifically with good players who can feel it really well, they'd feel it in one swing. And it typically happens in the transition. And I saw it with you the first time you hit them. You know, the ability to move it to the heel and stop that little right leak because you were leaving the face a little bit open is just a phenomenal change. And I think we'll start seeing it a lot more.
Yeah. And to your point and the discussion we had back in the day when we did a video on THP TV, go check it out on the YouTube, is it's more about what the club's doing naturally, not what our body is controlling it, right? So it's mm-hmm. easier to get that presentation on a three-quarter swing than a full swing because you're using more of those natural movement muscles versus like the power muscles. What is that like when it translates or transitions into an iron? Do you get that same sort of impact?
Well, it's interesting because the wedges are going to be the heaviest club in the bag, right? And so outside of a putter. And so, you know, prevailing thought would be that the weight movement would do less. And so that you really do feel it more in the three-quarter swing. When you get to irons and specifically longer clubs, you tend to start feeling it a lot more. And, you know, it was funny when we had a little testing day at a customer here in Denver. I don't have the ability to test product here in a bay of any kind at this point. Hopefully coming very soon, as we talked about. But we went to a customer and we started inviting players in. And we had one really good player, son of a Hall of Fame golfer, came in. And he explained it as he was fighting the club when the weight was in the wrong spot. And he had just bought a new set of $2,500 irons. And I think he gained 5 miles per hour of ball speed. And was just in absolute shock by what was going on. But when the weight was in the heel, perfect for him. When the weight was in the toe, his literal comment was, I feel like the club is fighting me. I don't know what's going on. This is weird. And, you know, it's that simple because the next guy that comes in might like it in the toe and have his best performance there. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we're all unique. We all have different swings. We all deliver the club in a different way. So to have a club that is built to do that is, to me, it's game changing.
So that's really interesting with the toe weighting. And I think one of the more popular things to do right now in iron design is to throw a crap ton of tungsten way out on the toe side to support that transition in the club. Mm-hmm. When you guys designed SMS irons, what exactly is built into there? Are you seeing some of that internal similarities there, but then allowing the weight to shift it a little bit, or are you being more cognizant of a centralized CG there?
It's interesting because we want to keep the CG fairly centralized. And one of the trends we've seen in wedges and irons, probably more so in wedges, is people are making longer hosels and then moving tungsten out to the toe. And, you know, it's kind of to balance the club, bring higher MOI for impact. For us, it was more about getting the look down, getting a really good player's look that's versatile across a number of handicaps, getting the CG centered as much as we possibly could, and then being able to move from there. And having that weight adjustability it gives us a lot of freedom.
So am I correct in assuming there's different weights you can buy for the screws? Are there different, like you have 2 2s and an 8 in the wedges. Mm-hmm. Do you have other options available for golfers?
Yeah. So in the fitting systems, and we've got about 350 fitters across the US now, that have these systems, but they've got different weights in there. So you can get a 4 gram, 6 gram, 8 gram, 10 gram. And what we'll see with a lot of really good or experienced fitters, club builders specifically, is they're fitting the swing weight with those. They, you know, could be MOI matching as they're building sets. It just gives the club maker the ultimate ability to shift weights. internally, we've been playing around with a lot of different things. Like if we've got 228 here, what if we did 246 and it was a little bit more of a kind of transition to that? And so the possibilities are endless and quite frankly, too robust for us to test every single one of them. Now, that said, we did test what we called Hulk style. We went down and saw a guy named Gene Perrini and tested with his robot in San Diego, works for Golf Labs. And we did 888 and 10-10-10 just to see what would happen. And you certainly can get a lot more ball speed if you can handle the weight of an iron like that.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. That's cool. but what I like about SMS is this understanding that golfers present the club head to the ball in very different ways from each other. I mean, I'm going to go play this afternoon here, and I guarantee you between me and the age range of myself to about 72, there's going to be probably five unique swings and mm-hmm. three fairly normal ones. Mm-hmm. So the idea that we can put the same club in play in different spots is that's a really interesting and positive thing. So, you know, I guess my question there is when you're designing, when you're creating this understanding of differences, how do you test for those big variances in swing, the way the club's presented, the speed, the steepness? How challenging is that?
It's hard. You know, robot testing will tell you so much, and that'll kind of benchmark you against competition and make sure nothing wonky is happening. So, you know, when we're doing heel shots, center shots, toe shots, high face, low face, and moving the weights in every position, we want to make sure that we're not losing anything at all. And in fact, there's some cool little tricks. If you do tend to hit a little off center and you have the weight over there and it matches your release, you can actually have gains in ball speed versus where you would be without it. But player testing is just crucial to the development of golf clubs. And with our fitting system, we're in a pretty good place to be able to do that and try it with shafts that players are used to or that's in their gamer, so we can have as like to like as possible. Our fitting system doesn't have a bulky connection piece. We've got essentially a male and female piece that just screws in. And so it's the exact weight of a production club. So we'll go through a lot of testing, a lot of different players, and, you know, starting from, you know, internal guys to get our gut feel. And we've got some pretty good players on staff, not myself. I always thought that I was a pretty decent barometer for the average consumer as a 9 handicap. And we can test a lot of different players that way. But yeah, we'll bring them in. Test them, test versus their gamer, test versus the weight in each position, mix up the order that we do that, and then do a little interview and see what players are feeling. So it's the quantitative, it's the qualitative, it's just trying to get a feel for the golfer and what they like and don't like.
We've spent plenty of time talking about the Adele Golf SMS wedges and how their swing match system benefits the game, both in the full swing and the touch shots. Fortunately for us, Adele has decided to expand that concept into their new SMS irons, which present three interchangeable weights on the back of the iron face that you can move around at your leisure to best suit your golf game. Adele's testing makes note that a face which is 2 degrees open or closed has the ability to take the ball 10 yards off the intended line. With SMS, you can either tinker away or find that right location to set it and forget it, depending on the type of player you are. Just like your driver. Visit www.adelegolf.com to see why they are leading the SMS story with one thought, that your irons can't do this. Really do that is when a player comes in for a fitting, there has to be a lot of faith in the fitter to say, just get me there. Because me trying to understand a combination of shaft and weight changes and you having to walk me through that as a fitter, even me as what you'd call a lunatic fringe kind of guy, I'd be so wrapped up in the changes that it's almost like it would be detractive to what I'm trying to get to. So mm-hmm. What is that like? And what do you encourage your fitting gurus to do when it comes to that? Or is it just purely, hey, trust me, we're going to get there. Or is it, I'm going to walk you through step by step what we're doing and why we're doing it.
First off, public service announcement. If you are going to get fit, interview your fitter. Like literally interview him or her and make sure that they're going to take you kind of deep in the process or as deep as you'd like to go. It's a relationship. You're about to spend an hour with someone typically, in some cases, hour and a half, or some people, if you're doing full bag fits, it might be a 3 or 4 hour deal. You're going to spend a lot of time with this person and you're putting trust of spending a lot of money in their hands. So I always recommend that. And it's amazing because we see relationships with people who tend to buy a lot of golf clubs. The relationships they have with their fitter is pretty amazing. And, you know, regardless of where that is in the world, it does become a relationship back and forth. The fitter knows that person's swing as well as they do, if not better in most cases. But if that's not you, if you're not getting fit regularly, do the quick interview, make sure you're comfortable with them. And then when you go in, what we tell our fitters that we work with a lot, it is pretty simple, is A, just put the Adele in their hands. We feel if we get into the ring in a fight, we're going to win more fights than we're going to lose. We don't have the biggest brand awareness. We don't have a ton of guys on tour at this point. And so just get it in their hands and let them try it because it's unique. We like to think that we're a fitter friendly company and that we're giving tools to fitters, whether that's our putter fitting kit or the wedges and the irons with the adjustable weights. But really, we start with benchmarking. So we like to get people warmed up, hitting their gamer, see where they're at. And if it's just an Adele only fitting, typically we're going to go through the weight positions. And we do that in a variety of ways. I don't like to show people where the weight is because sometimes they may try to adjust depending on their skill level. So we'll put it in the heel or the center or the toe and vary in orders, and we'll have them hit a handful of shots. In a good fitting, it could be 10 to 20 shots in each location. But what we've seen so many times, and I think you felt this with the wedges, is sometimes there's just a gag reflex that you have when the weight's in the wrong position. For me, when the weight's in the toe, it's hard for me to find the face. I will hit shanks. And within one swing, I can usually say, "Ooh, that's in the toe. I don't like it." And so that can expedite the fitting process as well. But we like to have people try each spot, look at the numbers and let the numbers prove out what you should be playing. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the irons in total, what's the what are you guys recommending them for? Is there a range of player that you're looking at for that?
Yeah, originally, you know, we had a lot of internal debate about what is the first variable length iron. And of course, we're known as our single length company historically. But what is the first variable length iron we're going to launch? And there was a lot of talk, is like, is it in a blade? Is it in a pro version? Is it in a super game improvement version? And there's a phenomenon going on in golf right now, and I think it's great for the golfer, but the player's distance category is such a broad category. And with what people are able to do with hollow body irons, you can create a certain look and a certain performance level that you couldn't in the past with a game improvement club. And so it spans a wide handicap range. So our design intent was for 5 to 15 handicaps. That was kind of our main target. But as we went deeper, and it's funny, on just the sales team alone, I've got 2+ handicaps and one that's long time teaching pro, low single digit. And when they first got their samples out, they all ran out to the golf course and, you know, they're hitting the clubs. And I start getting these texts like, "Oh, I've got to compete with my old clubs all summer now," because they all play state events, things like that. And, you know, we're seeing +2s, +3s, absolutely love a player's distance iron with a little bit of a thicker top line. One of the reasons we see that is we put a little less offset in these irons than what you would typically see in a player's distance iron. And we did that because with the ability to move weights, we can control the face in a different way than what offset has typically been intended for. So it's really pretty broad. And at the Quest Cup, you know, a couple 17s and 20s, you know, One of them pulled a four iron out and hit it absolutely amazing. It was like, I've never hit a four iron like this. Like this is mind blowing. So it's, it fits a huge variety of golfers, which is fun.
Yeah. That was what surprised me. Number one, either the ill fitting products they were using or just the superior technology in the SMS irons. But some of those ball speed differences between gamer and what they could be playing were, if those dudes aren't out there getting irons and getting fit and you know, selling them all to their buddies, it was pretty crazy. But 5 to 15 is surprising to me. That is a really positive number because I think that is a huge range of golfers.
It is. And that's why when we saw kind of the fringes outside of that, even really having a lot of success and liking it, I was like, you know, can we say that this iron fits +5 to 20? Like, that's insane. But we're going to see some of that just because of the look and the design of the club, which is pretty cool. We joke about it internally and say it's three clubs in one because of the weighting possibilities. But it's really more than that because of the design that goes along with it.
So last time we talked on the podcast, there was a discussion about the overall identity of Edel, and you know, you've made some pretty significant changes to the overall presentation of your company since you've been with them. Is there a better understanding today of your overall brand layout or your company construction? There seems to have been, for lack of a better word, a blurred line between boutique, between DTC, between, you know, what your identity was as a company. Is that becoming more clear now?
I think so, because we're just out there more. And make no mistake about it, David, as he built this company, built it on the idea of no outliers in the fitting process. And making people better golfers. And if we've done anything, I think we've just kind of cemented that idea as we built 5-year plans and mission statements, things like that. And we talk about making golfers better by paying attention to the unique aspects of their swing and fitting products to them. I think I just butchered the mission statement, but that's essentially it. And so in staying true to that, it's like, all right, well, who is our core customer? Let's really think about this for a second. And there's two ways of looking at that. There's the consumers, which are just golfers who want to get better. And then there's customers who are willing to do what it takes to fit people the best way possible. And that's not everywhere at retail. And we're selective. We tell people no on a regular basis. But when I came on board in 2020, you know, coming off of COVID, it just launched new putters. We were in 35 to 50 doors at the time. And, you know, through telling our story, through telling people about our focus, through showing them what we're going to be and how we're going to do it, we were able to bring on some really sizable and really good fitting accounts who have had a lot of success with the brand over the last year and a half. So it's been fun. But yeah, I mean, going deeper than that, there's a lot of distractions when you have a bunch of golf nerds running a golf company, and it's fun to do the fun stuff, the head covers, the limited edition products. But those all take an immense amount of time from an R&D standpoint, from an operations standpoint, from a marketing standpoint. And while we love doing them, sometimes those have to take a back seat for us to fulfill kind of the dreams that we have and really spreading the word about fitting in the products that we have.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And it sounds like your core identity, which is basically the fit golfer, like the club to golfer cohesion, is the most critical component. But you've also sort of teased us with a couple really cool limited things. I mean, yeah. You released a putter that was unbelievable looking. In fact, you texted it to me and out of pure torment, I think, more than anything else, which was pretty fun to see. A couple THPers jumped on that, which was cool. But there's also always this question of when does that expand? I mean, there are companies out there, their sole focus right now is this sort of limited, unique trinket concept. And as much as it doesn't help a golfer, it is still a big thrill to identify with a company in such a way that you can accessorize, for lack of a better word, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've had some great looking golf bags in the shop. You've done some apparel. What is that side of the business look like? Is that currently taking a big backseat to just making sure you're in your best position with the irons and the wedges, the things that actually matter, and the putters?
Yeah. A few years ago, I was talking to a business mentor of mine, and he always said, be careful of the word "and" in business. And what that really meant was focus on your initiatives, make sure you are crushing those, and then you can do some of the "and" stuff. And, you know, we've been growing at a 100% clip the last 2 years, 100% plus, from a revenue standpoint. We're hiring a ton of people, which has been really fun, but getting those guys onboarded. And so, you know, the boutique kind of crafted stuff has taken a little bit of a backseat. That said, we've got plans, and we've got some on the shelf, that are going to be coming out soon. We're actually going to have a 4th of July head cover launch coming, this week. And so we still want to tickle that aspect of just being product nerds and playing with those products, but we have to make sure that we're maintaining the core business. And I think as that settles in a little bit, you know, you don't have, you know, 1,000% distribution increases every year for 5 years at a company. That's almost impossible to do. But as things settle down a little bit, you'll start seeing more of that from us.
Okay. So your focus was wedges for a good amount of time. And then in the back seat was an iron lineup that was coming down the pipe. Now that's out and we all get to see it and experience it. What is the next focus for the company? Are you willing to admit what you guys are just generally looking at? Is it refreshing putters? Is it, you know, going deeper into maybe utility irons or even metal woods? What's the play?
Yeah. Now we've got a pretty tight product roadmap right now, and we actually just had a meeting on it yesterday where we were going through the next 3 years and kind of picking dates where things will fall. You know, we absolutely love where we're at with the swing match technology. And I think you'll see that continue to permeate the product line and building out a little bit more of a robust line there. As you know, I'm a bit of a putter freak, and we've got a few more in-house. And so we're always talking about, all right, what does the next putter line look like? Or how do we add models to the EAS line that we have? What can we do to give fitters better tools and make golfers better? So yeah, kind of all aspects of that. I can't go too deep with you.
No, that's fine. That was great. I love the first one. Just big fat yes. Yes. Thanks for that. So one of the questions I had was, the limited release putter you guys did wasn't similar in face to your inline models. Is that something you review? I'm, as much as you're a putter guy, I'm like a putter milling guy. So like every time I look at a putter, I'm like, show me the face, show me the face, show me the face. Mm-hmm. Is that a conversation you guys have a lot in there when you're talking about isolating to the putter and the different experiences there? Or is that, yeah, or do you have a current focus?
Oh yeah, no, it's interesting. Sometimes putters are like flavors of ice cream to people. And when it comes to feel, you know, everyone feels something different based on what they see. Psychologically, it leads them to believe something's happening, what they hear. You know, I've got a lot of experience with really deep millings, different patterns on the face, different materials on the face. I may have as much experience as just about anybody in golf with that. And so it's a constant discussion. And, you know, when we're launching a limited product, a lot of the time it's just, hey, what's going to be cool?
Yeah.
And, you know, save the tech and kind of the performance attributes potentially for the inline fitted product. But let's just try some new stuff. Let's break some eggs and see what people like. And, you know, that's the fun part about putters to me is you're able to do that.
Yeah. Like a long neck, you know, blade, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Exactly.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is, when it comes down to the finite elements of a putter, changing your ball has an impact on the sound. Changing your grip has an impact on the sound experience, the audible profile. You know, there's so much that goes into that. Even the shaft in many ways has an opportunity to change the experience. So that was really interesting to me thinking about that. You guys have weights that are built into the actual grip and goes down into the putter to support a fitting. You use round grips, which is unique to a lot of putter experiences. So, I mean, there's no question you're challenging it in the sort of traditional aspect of what a putter is. So I was really curious about that because you do have a specific design there. And I thought that was really interesting. It's definitely unique to your brand, but you know, as soon as I saw that limit, I was like, oh, they're messing around over there. They're having a good time in the office when it's snowing and he's not on a mountain skiing. So,
but like I said, we've got a few more on the bench right now that are just waiting to be launched. And, you know, when I look at David, you know, he's such a fascinating individual, and he is as big of a golf historian as there is alive. He's constantly paying attention to auctions of limited edition golf stuff. I mean, it could be if someone's selling a green jacket, David will tell you that he knows the exact price and if it's overvalued, undervalued. You know, he bought the lost designs of an Alistair McKenzie course. I mean, this guy has a gun safe full of the full estate of Roberto DiVincenzo's golf collection, from shoes to letters from Augusta. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And so, you know, he's actually got a very funny story about when he used to work his parents owned a bed and breakfast in Oregon growing up, and he was making a feathery ball. He decided to take down pillows from one of the rooms and boil the feathers and make a feathery. So he's turning this leather inside out and he's boiling feathers. And the way he tells the story is absolutely hilarious. But the bell rings at the front desk and he's working night shift. And so he's got to walk up to the front desk and he's covered in feathers. And and the guy looks at him and it's like, what are you, effing a chicken back there? David's like covered in feathers. Like, I don't know what to say. He's like, I'm making a feather. I don't know if you know what that is. Luckily, the guy was a golfer and understood. But he has this penchant for anything of the history of golf from an equipment standpoint. And so he's always tinkering with something. And you'll continue to see that come through.
So that's really interesting that you do have that traditional style for sure in a lot of your product. It's not like particularly overly flashy. But then you're also incorporating a technology that no one else is really trying. You're forward thinking while maintaining those traditional aspects. I definitely get a sense of that with Adele. And that's cool that it's sort of his identity overall, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting for people who make like handcrafted blades. It's such a beautiful art, or who grind wedges. We've got those guys. And then we also have some of the brightest young engineers I've ever met from Colorado School of Mines that are working with us. We've actually got two interns on board right now from there, both on the golf team, one who played in the US Open sectionals. And just working with them over the last 2 months and seeing just how brilliant they are is just fascinating. So it's kind of tech meets craft, which is a unique place for a brand in golf. You don't usually see both.
Yeah. Do you want to share with our listeners and THPers what's next for Adele? Do we have kind of that next chapter that we can look forward to? What's the play moving forward into the end of 2022? Is it all irons?
It's really irons. So we'll start shipping irons in a little less than a month here. So we introduced it a few weeks ago, start shipping in a little less than a month right now. And just really anxious to see how people react to it. You know, every account that we walked into and let them try those clubs was phenomenal. Every kind of person who saw it pre-launch gave us phenomenal feedback on the iron. But in the golf biz, the rubber meets the road when it gets in the fitter's hands, and people have to plunk down their hard-earned money to buy new golf clubs. So it's a new category for us. So we're excited to go after that and to really push it. And, you know, beyond that, it's prepping for new products that we're going to have in Q1 timeframe and Q2 of next year. We've got a pretty good slate coming up. So just making sure that we're continually focused on that.
And how about for you personally? You getting on the road a bunch? You going to visit these huge influx of fitters and locations that you are currently in?
Yeah, I've been all over the U.S. to some states I'd never been to, actually. One trip, we hit Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire in 1 week, including a PGA coaching and teaching summit, in addition to seeing some customers. And it's one of my favorite things. You know, we've got so many unique customers, and we've got one, I think she lives in East Sandwich, Massachusetts, which is down by the Cape. Her name's Jane Frost, just a phenomenal longtime fitter of ours, master staffer with another OEM, but believes in our putter fitting process and our wedges. Going out to see her was a great experience. Went up to see a guy named John Pannone at Spargo Golf in Rhode Island. I think he's one of my favorite human beings on earth now. And you'd love this guy. We walk in and we show up at a driving range that has a putt-putt, a batting cage, and then this full driving range. And I had never been out there before. And we go down, it's into the basement, I guess you call it. It's a walkout basement of this building. And it smells like burnt epoxy. And there's this guy wearing an apron building clubs in the back. And so, hey, we want to show you this new iron. And so full apron on and maybe 40 keys on his key ring. He starts banging shots, not even warming up, just starts banging shots. And this guy wins everything. He's probably at 6 course records locally there. And he just falls in love with the iron. And so we ended up hanging out with him for a couple hours because he's got all these old persimmon woods with Acra shafts in there. And like, just a golf geek. And that's the fun part for me is going and seeing guys like that. Golf and ski in New Hampshire. Went out there with one of my reps. We're talking to them. For those of you who don't know, golf and ski, they move a ton of product up in the Northeast. Very, very good golf score, also a skiing store. And so it was like this marriage for me where I'm talking to this fitter like about deep product performance in golf, and then we start getting into like what skis we have and doing the same thing on that side. So it's just, there's so many unique characters in this industry, and just being able to spend time with them has been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, we're super thrilled to see this progression. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I've had the benefit of enjoying it firsthand, seeing the reaction to your product. And THPers got a taste of that when we shared the experiences on the community forum, which actually just hit 8 million posts. So it's super exciting. We're celebrating over there right now. But
awesome.
Yeah, down at RTJ, you guys are having a blast on there. Now they're all telling the big story. So yeah, it's really cool that we kind of get to take this ride with you guys and have fun. You have any questions for me today, Chris?
The story of the Superman shirt's always something that I want to know. I mean, that's like, it's a big logo. It's meaningful. So
yeah,
talk about that first.
Yeah. So we are still only audio for off course. We're throwing around the idea of video, but we are currently on video with each other. It's a middle of a work day for me. I'm on lunch right now, you know, and I'm at the current house. So I'm rocking a Superman shirt. I'm pretty sure my son bought me for Christmas. It might have been a Meijer or Target special. So
nice. Now the other question, I've talked to Josh a little bit and he's thrown around some ideas, but what's on deck for THP? What are you guys doing?
Oh man, that you need to ask Josh that. He is you know as well as I do, that man moves faster than just about anyone, and it doesn't stop at the golf course. I think he might play faster than anyone I know. So, yeah. You know, keeping up with that. The thrill for me is being a part of the behind the scenes, but also getting to experience things in the same way that other THPers do, where it gets announced. And, you know, we're doing all these different location-based stuff, and we saw that with you at RTJ down there. Awesome par 3 course, by the way, just throwing that out there. But yeah, I mean, we're kind of just cruising along. We've got some new ideas down the road that they're making a big change right now, heading back to Florida. So we're inevitably, that means starting fresh, which means new ideas will come with that, I'm sure. So I'm like you, man. I'm weathering the storm. Let's see what's coming.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so. It's interesting with where we're at. You know, it's I saw something this morning on Twitter, and I thought the quote was so good. It said, "You're either green and growing, or you're ripe and rotten." And I thought that was kind of just a perfect place for where we are as a company. We've got this energy right now. We're doing things a little bit differently than what we've done historically. We've got incredible financial backing to make our dreams kind of come true. And a lot of that story is going to unfold over the next 3 or 4 months, where we're going to announce some things that they're going to shock some people outside of even the product realm. So it's going to be fun. Just say stay tuned and see where we're headed.
I love it. Well, you better clear your schedule for me. I want to get you back on here when that new product drops so we can share it with our listeners and our THP community. But either way, Chris, I appreciate you coming on today. It was super fun to chat with you and to catch up a bit.
Always. Thank you.
All right. Hey, anyone out there playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Enjoy the holiday. Sounds like we've got a fancy new putter cover coming same day this drops, or maybe around the same day. So, you know, keep an eye on Adele Golf and go check him out. I've had him, the wedges in the bag. There's a lot of truth to what he's saying. So go experience for yourself. Have fun. And we will catch you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.